but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form, the nature of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. That's more than the human mind can comprehend, how that the God of the universe who created you and me and everything there is humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Christ, Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. If we were to define, and I'll come to my verse here in a moment, the word humility, I think it can be understood very simply. Humility is this. It is you walking into any situation, anywhere, anytime, with any people, under any circumstance, and finding the very lowest spot that you can find. Going down as far as you can go. In the presence of God, but also in the presence of man, and under any circumstance, at any time. Humility, if I was to summarize it, simply means this: just get down. Just get down. No matter in whose presence. We find it easy to get down if it's someone that we feel should be over us. But then we find it hard to get down if we're in the presence of someone we think is lower than us. But this is non-negotiable. Jesus humbled himself not part-time, but full-time. Right. Humility is you finding the lowest spot. Everywhere, anywhere, all the time. That is humility. And I want us to notice in Joseph's life an exhibition of this humility. We look here in chapter number 41, verse number 16. If you know the story of Joseph's life, you know how it has unfolded with his brothers abusing him, being sold by the Ishmaelites, becoming a slave at the hand of Potiphar, being lied on by Potiphar's wife, being put in prison, interpreting the dreams of the butler and baker, and then, of course, how that the butler is put back on his job with the king. The king has a dream himself, and no one can give him the understanding of that dream, but it just happens that that butler is serving him and understands and says, look, there's a Hebrew servant that I went to jail with, and he knows how to interpret dreams. And so the king goes and has him retrieved and brought to him for that purpose. And if you look in verse 15, Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. Now here is Joseph's chance to shine. Here is Joseph's chance to erase all of that past. He does know some things about dreams. And now the opportunity has come by this king who has become aware of his gift and his talent, and the king is giving him a chance to be promoted. And he says to him, I have heard about what you can do. Joseph, being human, he could have been tempted to swell up and say, well, I have handled a few dreams. As a matter of fact, I'm pretty good at it. And he seemed to be. And I'm sure that if there had been anybody that could have given him some advice, they would have advised him to use this chance to turn his world around, to elevate himself. But notice what he does, just the contrary of it. Verse number 16, and Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, wow. Here's your chance, Joseph. Here's your opportunity. It is not in me. He said, King, I don't know who's been telling you this. I don't know where you're getting the information from. But I'm going to let you know up front that I can do nothing within myself. It is not within me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. I'm thinking about this heart of Joseph that refuses to elevate himself, even though circumstances seem to avail that. He yet humbles himself. He abases himself. He empties himself. He simply says, I don't have the mechanisms of my own. I don't have the powers of my own. I don't have the abilities of my own. In other words, King, you've called a man up here that is nothing. But I know somebody who can do what you want done. And isn't it true tonight that if we analyze ourselves, we are nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. But I'm glad that I know a God that can do anything. As Paul realized, through Christ Jesus, he could do anything. But I want to emphasize this spirit of humility that is so vital, this artery that if there's going to be a work of God, it must be kept open. It must flow freely. I'll give you a little illustration, then we'll go into three simple thoughts about this matter of the aspect of humility for all of us. I had a preacher tell me that when he was a young boy, his daddy took him to a large preacher's conference. A couple of thousand or more people there. And he said the pastor of that church stood up. And he wanted to recognize the preacher who had the most people in his church. And I don't know that his motive was wrong, but he just did that. And he started out, he said, is anybody here at Pastor's 1,000? And he said, a few stood up. He said, is there anybody here at Pastor's 1,500? And a few stood up. And he said, the number went on up. I can't recall how far, but there was a larger number there. And he asked that pastor to come forward, and he may have been an humble man. I'm not judging that. And he recognized him in front of those people and honored him because he was the biggest preacher in the crowd as far as the number was concerned. I don't know if your pastor has run into, he's in heaven now, a man by the name of Hinkle Little. He happened to be in that service. How he mixed in that, I don't know. But they had had him to come. And this preacher, who was just a young boy, never forgot it. He said right after that, they called on Brother Hinkle. You'd have to know him. Wrong thing to do right there. To get up, and I don't know, he loved to sing, may have been to sing or to say a word or two, but he got up, and before he started, he said, "Well, appreciate y'all recognizing the one who has the most." And said he began to weep. Tears began to flow, and he said, "I want to reverse that a little bit." He said, "I was just wondering if there's anybody here that pastors 100 people." Several of them stood up. He said, "I was wondering if there's anybody that pastors 75. Several of them stood up. He said, "I was wondering if there's anybody that pastors 25. Several of them stood up. And finally, he got to one old preacher that had pastored a church for many years that had 17 people. He had him to come up there. He said, "Brother Hinkle," got his handkerchief out, bowed down on his knees before that man and shined his shoes. And he said, "I want to thank you for serving God under such humble, unacclaimed circumstances." You see, this matter of humility is not a matter of big and little, large and small. But it's a matter of you always, always being lower and getting down below everybody else. Now, three things that I want to say to you about this matter of humility. I want to emphasize, first of all, what I call the simple aspect of humility. The simple aspect of humility. And that is, in truth, in light of who you are, and in light of who God is, there's nothing left but humility. Someone has said, John Flavel said, "They that know God will be humble, and they that know themselves cannot be proud. The only thing left is humility." And here it is, Joseph, as he humbles himself before God, and that's who he's concerned with, and before the king. And he's simply saying that I don't have anything in and of myself. I like what 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7 says, "For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst not receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it?" As Paul said, everything that I am by the grace of God. And all that I am by the grace of God. And here as we look at Joseph, no doubt he has pondered himself. And he realizes that he has no strengths and abilities that he can claim as his own. Joseph, even the favored status that he had as a son, didn't come from himself. It came from his father. Joseph had never done anything to earn his father's favor. He was just born into this world. And his father had favor on him. Not of his own doing. It was something that was beyond himself. Joseph is given a coat of many colors, but that's not of his own doing either. That also is a gift of the heart of his father. Joseph is guided with the goodness of God. Nothing to be proud of, but something to be humbled in. And the fact that you and I are the children of God sitting here tonight, and hopefully you're not given to strong drink. You're not giving to cursing. You're not giving to carousing around. But yet we can't come in here boastful and proud, elevating ourselves above the sinners of this old world, because we realize that none of this strength comes from ourselves, but it is of God. He is the one that made the difference for Joseph all the way through, and He was the one who made the difference in your life all the way through, and He's the only one to be credited for any good in any of our lives. It is so simple. This matter of humility should be simple for us to understand that we're left with nothing but humility, nothing but to be humble, because there is no reason for us to be anything but humble. C.H. Spurgeon said, "We should never be lifted up in pride because of our race, our face, our place, or our grace. Because it was not ours, but God gave it to us." Jesus Himself said, "I can of mine own self do nothing." He said, "I seek not mine own will. I have come to do the will of my Father. I'm not come of myself." There is this simple aspect of humility. We ought all be humble. Because once you analyze yourself and once you see God, it doesn't leave anything less than humility. How can we be proud? For what should we be proud? And especially when we realize that the God of glory, the Son of God, came into this world and became humble. He humbled Himself. We were talking today, and I mean this with all of my heart. I'm not just clicheing. But I wonder, I mean, God has blessed to where He has opened many doors for me to preach. And I hesitate even to mention that because there's measures of pride in all of that stuff. But I'm honest. The thing that I fear most is that out of all of those many revivals and all those many services and all that many preaching and all them miles, I'm just wondering if there's going to be anything that's not going to be caught up in the fire of wood, hay, and stubble. You say, why? Because I know my heart, and that's where it all comes from. And somehow I say I know my heart, but in those areas I cannot know my heart as to how much of this is for the glory of God and how much of it is just simply a fear that I might mess up. Now the Lord will have to sift all that out. But this much I do know. On top side of God's earth and under heaven, I have no reason nor cause to be haughty or proud. And I must say to you what Joseph said to the king, it is not in me. It is not in me. And there is a measure of relief in that. When the Holy Ghost can breathe in your heart and say, don't worry about it, you ain't got it, you'll never have it. It ain't in you. It ain't in you. So this matter of humility, it has the simple aspect. We have no choice if we analyze ourselves in light of God to be humble. The second thing that I would mention is that there is in this artery of humility, this artery that God works through, God pumps through, this artery of humility, this artery of getting down. Nothing is any more proud than religion wherever you find it. And I know we could see it if you've ever been to Israel and you see the Arabs and the Jews, they're at the wailing wall on one side Of course, is the lot of the Arabs. The other side is the Jews. And I'm going to tell you, they're both so filled with pride. You know what pride will do? It won't save you. It'll kill you. Pride will kill you. Religion is the meanest thing in this old world. Sometimes some old pagan will write a book on religion and dispel every bit of it, and I'm reading it saying, amen, I agree with you. It's all dangerous. Remember the years of the moral majority? I just, a young man had better sense than that. I said, that's a problem in Jesus' day. It's a moral majority that killed him. You don't want to get a crowd thinking they're moral. They'll cut your head off. That's what they're doing. That's what they're doing in the Middle East. They think they're doing right. But here Joseph humbles himself. God wants an humbled people. Because humility is assured the grace of God. And humility is the first step to revival. If my people shall what? Humble themselves. And we're so busy dealing with all those other aspects, we just slide over top of that first one, and it's the key to the whole thing. You don't get by that. I don't care how much of that other stuff you got. It don't mean nothing. The simple aspect. But the second thing that is obvious in Christ, as we read in Philippians chapter number 2, is that serving, submissive aspect of humility. That serving, submissive aspect. The scripture said he humbled himself and became obedient. Took on the form of a servant. Jesus didn't come into this world to be lifted up by the religious status and the mechanisms of society. He wasn't interested in all of that. He came for one purpose. Understand, Jesus didn't come into this world to be recognized and praised of the hearts of men and religion. He came into this world to go down as far as he could go down. He suggests us that it shouldn't be our interest as to how high we can get. It's the question ought to be is how low can we get? How far down can we get? I was thinking about Joseph and all the times that the scripture refers to him as a servant. Chapter number 39, he served his master. Even when he went in prison, the Bible said he served while he was in prison. Genesis chapter 37, in relationship to his father, the Bible said, and his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said unto Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. He could have answered and said, I ain't going down there. You know how they treat me. But his simple answer was, here am I. And when Jesus came into this world, he came with that same spirit. It is the spirit of one who is humbled and the spirit of one who is obedient. It seems to me as I look at Joseph's life that he has this aspect of being a servant in all the functions of his life. Everywhere you find him, you find his hands serving. In the very form of his life, he seemed to have this servitude about him, the very fashion, the very jacket that he wore indicated that he was a servant. When the scripture speaks about Jesus, it talks about him being in the form and him having the fashion. I looked up that word form. That word form means it is the word metamorphosis, and it has the idea of the nature of it. Now, there is such a thing as a false humility, and that is trying to be humble, and that's what we do most of the time. Or in these other areas that I was taught, trying to be thankful, or trying to seem as though that you love. But isn't that a miserable state to be in? To be in the presence of people that you feel like you're better than them, but you have to act like that you're not. Or to be in the presence of someone that you know that you're supposed to show love, but you hate. And to be in the presence of someone that you just tell them you forgive them, buddy, you've got it written down, and you just can't. But let me tell you something, Jesus didn't come into this world to imitate humility. He didn't come into this world to try to seem as though that he is showing something, that he took on the form, which means he took on the nature. He had the very nature of humility. Boy, when I saw that, I thought, oh, Lord, that's what I need. I don't need to act this thing. I don't need to play this game of humility. I need to have the nature of humility, the nature of Christ, that I want to be less. I want to get down. I want to serve. I want the form and the fashion and the functions of service in humility. That's why he said, I didn't come to be ministered unto, but to minister. And when he washed those disciples' feet, he said, if you're going to be master, you're going to have to be servant. If your master served, you're going to have to serve. But here's the thing about it. Anywhere you saw Jesus, he was in the form and the fashion of humility. In other words, when you saw him, you didn't see a king, you saw a servant. And that's why they rejected him. They said, well, we don't want him. He ain't even been educated. He's born in a barn almost. And look at him, who he hangs around sinners and everything. We can't have a ruler like that. He's too low class. Well, get used to it. While he was in this world, he wasn't interested in lifting himself up. He was interested in getting down. And the problem in this world with the church, we're trying to impress society and religion and make the church look good. But thank God for those humbled hearts that realize they are nothing. And somehow within them, their heartbeat is humility. When you saw Christ, you saw somebody whose nature, when we're talking about nature, that's his bent, that's his desire, that's his hunger. He's not putting on the dog. That's who he is. When he saw you, he was looking for your feet to see if he could bathe them and wash them. As he did the disciples, as he did Simon Peter. He says, this is not a show. This is not just a put on. This is my heart. I want to serve, he said. He came to serve. It was his form. It was his fashion. It was him. When he came into this world, he came in an humbled form and fashion and function. Everywhere you saw Joseph, as a matter of fact, when that butler spoke to the king about him, he said, there's a Hebrew servant in prison. That's the way he saw him. Whew. Again, I'm getting back to this thing of where the wood, hay, and stubble, and gold and silver and precious stone is, but I wonder how many people see me as the evangelist and the preacher and never even think about a servant. Thinking that I've come in to preach my little 10-cent sermon, high dog, and get my offering, get out here and go to the next place. And I ain't going to tell you that that's never in my heart. But I am going to tell you this. That's not what God wants out of us. He wants us to so serve that this world, when they look at us, they see servants. They see someone who is willing to get, I'm going to tell you, and you know, we talk about big preachers. We all have influences and so on of preachers, but I've often said this, and I believe it to be true. If we could categorize what I would call a great man of God, that great man of God, the key to it is humility. I don't care if he can quote the whole Bible through and read it in Hebrew and Greek and all of that other stuff. I'm not interested in all of that. God's not interested in all of that. We're not interested in how high you can get. We're interested in how low you can get. This world doesn't need another high dog, high horse riding through. It needs somebody like Jesus that can get down. Because God will do all the raising up that needs to be done. You don't have to worry about the raising up part. He'll do the raising up part. What you got to do is ask Him to help you get down. There is that serving aspect. I know this. My wife is the greatest Christian I know, because I know her personally. She has faults and failures, and we won't discuss those. But here's what overwhelms me, overcomes me. I am hardly ever in any situation where she want the thing she wants to do is find out how she can serve. And I am confident that I am destined to die poor. Because it's in her heart to give it all away. And in my flesh, I said, give yours away. Don't give mine away. But her heart beats in secrecy. And I said, Lord, how honored I am to live with such a woman that is willing to do so much and yet be seen so little. And if you saw Joseph, what you saw, if you ever saw Joseph, you saw him serving somebody. And if you ever saw Jesus in this world, you saw him serving somebody. When you say, well, preacher, how good a Christian am I? I don't know. Who are you serving? How much are you serving? How much of who you are and what you make and what you got is for you? How much have you got laid back? Ain't that rough? If I ever get to come back, I'm going to get some sweet sermons. These here right here has just been rough all week. But they ain't no rougher on you than they are on me. Jesus intended when he left this old world to leave nothing behind as far as tangible things, because he gave it all. When he died on that cross, he left a big zero as far as that's tangible. He gave it all. Well, I ain't going to raise my hand on being a good Christian. But this much I do know, that what he puts in me, he wants it to be used to serve somebody else. He wants me to be interested in every step I take of thinking about how, Lord, can I get down in this situation? How, Lord, can I get low? And how, Lord, can I bow myself? How, Lord, can I do what you intended for me to do in this world? The one intention is go as low as you could go. When he came into this world, to go as low as he could go. It's a simple aspect. When you get to looking at yourself and looking at God, there ain't nothing left but humility. It's a serving aspect in its function, in its fashion, and in its form. Everything about him indicated it. But let me close with this. This matter of humility is important. Here's why it's important. Because it has a saving aspect. All these truths that I've preached about have a saving aspect to them. A saving aspect to it. And if you don't believe it, read it. Read it right here. I think it was Andrew Murray that made this statement. He talked about Calvary. He said Calvary was an humbled redemption. Humbled redemption. And if you don't understand what I'm saying right there, you take the humility out of Christ, and there wouldn't have been no cross. What does the Bible say? He humbled himself and became obedient unto what? And because he humbled himself, God used that humility as a saving factor to redeem a fallen world. Wow. He said, Father, I got one intention and I know it's your will. I'm going to go down and down and down and down. Here's the saving aspect of humility. If this world ever needs saved, it needs to be saved in this hour. If families ever needed a saving aspect, they need salvation in this hour. And all around you and in your streets and in your family and in your children and so on, there are those that need to be saved. And you need to be saved. I need to be saved in some situations, as has been said. But you can have no, zero work of salvation outside of humility. That's not only in Christ. And brother, it stabs me in the heart. That is in every one of us. And the reason there's so little saving is there's so little humility, and we've missed it completely. Because here's what has to happen. You're not going to save anything standing over it. You're not going to save anything being the big dog. Joseph's not going to save his brethren. He's not going to save Egypt. He's not going to save the world by being the one that's in charge all the time. The only way he's going to do it is he's going to serve. And he served all the way through. Even after he was promoted, he still served, except on a bigger level. But what God let Joseph do is get down in the midst of all that wretched situation and go lower than anyone else. And after he got down under his brothers and under, I'll tell you, the enslavement and under the Potiphar's. And once he got down below everything, then God said, okay, now we'll just raise all that up. And God brought him up, brought his brothers up, brought Egypt up, and by the way, brought me and you up. Huh? And this old world would have went on off, dropped off into hell. Every one of us. If Jesus hadn't come down and got under your sin and took it upon him, and when he got under it, God said, now I can save it. And he pulled him up and pulled me and you up with him. But here's the thing I realize. That's what he wants to do with me and you. Instead of sitting around trying to figure out all the situations and iron out all the situations and dictate all the situations and instruct all the situations, what he wants us to do is walk in the room where the situation is and do this. Once you hit the lowest spot, you feel him start pulling, bringing you up and bringing others up with you. Saving factor. He humbled himself, became obedient unto death, and God raised him up and exalted him. But honey, he wasn't the only one that come up. I come up with him. You come up with him. We come up with him. But nobody's coming up And boy, we talked about this prison ministry and this, because I go across the country and I find from the testimonies of those that have been in there and the gleam on their face that there's more happening in the jails than there is in the church. But I'm going to tell you how that can happen. It's when a man or whoever can go in there and not instruct and not look down on them and not tell them how they've lived their lives and they need to. Somebody's got to go in there and get under it. And if they get under it, God Almighty will raise some up. I often talk about young'uns. I'm going to tell you the only help for our young'uns. Somebody's going to have to get down lower than them. If you can get down lower, instead of trying to make them think you got all the answers, you're going to have to get under that situation. And when you get under it and lie right real still in a death mode, then the God of the universe can use that humbled redemption work and raise some things up. The saving work of humility. Somebody said, you think he's going to save America? No. We're too busy fighting, protesting. We're going to go to the courthouse and drag somebody out and beat them upside the head if we can to get all these laws right. And we feel justified in doing it. But imagine what the Lord would want is somebody to find the basement and get down under it and say, God, if there's anything you can do with nothing, would you use me and raise this thing up? And somehow, if God's people in this hour, somehow if my heart and your heart could be humbled, there would be a saving work take place. You said, preacher, what are you preaching about? It's just this simple. Get down. That's all there is to it. You're going to have to get down. And if you ever get down, then God can raise some things up. And he's interested in raising some things up. I was thinking about fellow that touched my life, Brother Jimmy Rose. Anybody ever hear of Jimmy Rose, missionary to Brazil? I don't even know if he's able to. I don't think he's on the field anymore. He's an aged man. But in his day, a very powerful man. Much influence among, I call, great preachers. I can remember when I went to Bible college, I was down. I remember the day that I went, just a teenager, all by myself. I didn't know anybody down there. Dr. Seiler's. They were having homecoming on that day. 1,500 people, but they had homecoming, which I was glad. I didn't have nothing to eat. But during that homecoming, I didn't know anybody. Nobody knew me, so I just strolling around. And this guy, at that time probably in his 40s, comes up to me and introduces himself and begins to ask me all about myself. Well, it didn't take long to tell him all about myself. I mean, nobody had done nothing. Hadn't been saved long. And I thought, you know, that'd be the end of the conversation. Did you know... And I'm not saying that because he would have done that, and probably has done it many, many times. Do you know that this man, whom I didn't know who he was, spent 2 to 3 hours with me that afternoon? And I soon realized, I thought there's something wrong with him. I said, this guy must not have a friend. Poor fella, he's 45, 50 years old and ain't got nobody to hang out with. He's hanging out with me, but that's fine. I ain't got nobody to hang out with. I went to school, and later on in the fall, we were taking song leading because they said, you know, every preacher is going to have to lead a song from time to time, so it's good. And in the song leading class, the guy that was leading it, who was the assistant pastor of the church, he said, now you're going to have to learn anybody can lead a song. Anybody can. And he stopped. He said, well, not anybody. He said, y'all all know, and he mentioned a man's name, Jimmy Rose, said he can't carry a tune, poor fellow can't carry a tune. But when he said Jimmy Rose, I thought to myself, I know, I've met a Jimmy Rose. And he began to, he said, now Jimmy's a great preacher, which he, if he was in the States, he preached every breath. I mean, he preached somewhere. And was noted to be a great prayer warrior. God just mightily used him. And when he said Jimmy Rose, I thought, Jimmy Rose, Jimmy Rose. That's the guy that spent 2 to 3 hours with me on that Sunday afternoon. And what I realized was he didn't spend 2 to 3 hours with me because he didn't have nobody to talk to. Dr. Seitler would have loved to sit and talk to him for 2 or 3 hours. And all of the preachers would have loved to have an audience with him. But he found a nobody that wouldn't know who he was and probably would never remember his name and got down. And I said to myself, that's the reason why God's using him. Because he didn't just get down with me. He's getting down everywhere he goes. And God's doing a mighty work. 18, 19-year-old boy. Instead of hanging around up here, he got down with me and never knew that it would go beyond that. Never knew that the Holy Ghost would bring a recollection to that name. And what it said to my heart is, son, don't spend a lot of time trying to get up. Find you some places to get down. Because there's a saving work in humility. Poof, 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 poof. You know what that is, don't you? You know what I'm doing, don't you? Poof. One of them things shut down, you're ruined. The artery of humility. God, let me humble myself. If my people shall humble themselves. You say, well, I've got a situation. I wish God would do something, man. He might. If you can find the low spot. But you can't find the low spot and try to handle it. You can't get down and stay up at the same time. You got to get under it. And once you get under it, then he can begin to raise it.